At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud.
I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Ciarlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real. And my esteemed guest today is Beth Jones. She is the author of Becoming an Empowered Survivor. We're going to talk about this book today, and we're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about surviving so that you can be stronger. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose, Beth.
Thanks, Edna. So happy to be here today.
Great. I know that we were going through some tumultuous backstory stuff, you know, before the show and all these links and everything.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we would have never thought these times were going to happen. You know, we never thought about these times. I think the most technical I've ever been was Skype. I remember that long time ago. Oh my God.
I do.
Tell my age, right? You know, so, yeah. But we're here now. So you got to grasp onto it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about you and what you're doing, you know. Introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Sure. I'm happy to. My name is Beth Jones. And if you can see there the caption under my name, I call myself the healing mentor because that's what I do. I help other survivors of trauma and abuse to walk their healing pathway to overcome whatever challenges they've been through in their life, but more importantly, how they're living their life as a survivor.
Ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, I found myself in a place a little over 4 years ago where I had a life quake moment where I discovered the reality of my life in the past, having been a victim, survived for 45 years, and then had an epiphany, an awakening, and an opportunity to step on my own healing pathway. And that led me through a lot of work to heal myself. And I now use my own experiences and what I believe about the healing journey to help others. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So you needed to, you knew you needed to heal.
I didn't know that I needed to heal. I actually did not. No.
You didn't. Okay. No. Wow. No. Then, so you came into just like the awakening of it. What was one of the precipitators to that?
So I had what they call the life quake moment or the life altering moment.
Okay.
To a hypnotherapy session in June of 2020. And I went because I had taken on a leadership role in my previous life where I was a corporate executive in a consulting company.
Okay.
And I had taken on a leadership role where I had responsibility and accountability to people and really had to forge deep relationships with people to be successful in the work that I was doing. Previously, most of what I did was project based.
Okay.
And I felt constrained by, I just felt nervous about being able to be successful in that role. And I happened to mention to my medical doctor one day, and she's like, oh, we have this woman on staff who does hypnotherapy and maybe she can help you. So I go in thinking I'm going for, you know, it's kind of like what you go, you want to quit smoking or you want to lose weight.
Yeah, that's the type of therapy.
And I actually had one of the most terrifying experiences of my life because fragments of what I knew about myself and other people in my life who were sort of in a line of family generational abuse, all of those fragments came together.
Yeah.
And I tell people the person who walked into that room died and I, this me, the healed me, walked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happens when you're in awakening is really, you know, and it takes something like that, you know, from myself. I know for me, it was a car accident. It's really like, I call it my cracking of the egg thing.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
it was like, I when I went into the hospital, I was one way. I came out, I was a total different person. There was no judgment in me. There was just this clean, pure, I think it was this clean, pure, vibrating love that was in me. I couldn't even, it was just amazing. And I was like, I'll never lose that feeling ever again.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had to do work to unbury myself to find that
vibration.
Yes, I live behind a wall. I built this wall around me for 45 years. Basically a fortress. And it was to protect myself from being hurt by people. But I was very lonely and alone behind that wall. Yeah. And so I had to break it down to find that those higher vibrations in me.
Yeah. And breaking down that wall is so very important. And I was talking to my grandson who is a teenager. And so he always calls me his best friend, but I'm not. I'm just somebody he talks. I'm not his best friend. And he says to me, I feel like I'm not grateful for my friends and I don't want to be around them. And he's talking, you know, he's talking his feelings. So I said to him, I think those are bricks. I said, I think you're building bricks so nobody gets close to you because you don't know how to respond to them.
Yeah.
He said, that makes sense. So I said, you only have a half a wall right now. Not even half, maybe up to your feet. So what I want you to do is start stepping over it. So if mom and dad are playing in the living room with your sister, go in the living room, get around people. I said, because you know what happens? Isolation builds this whole big wall up and pretty soon you don't know how to get out of it. And it's very hard. So he says, well, I've been doing the breathing you've been teaching me. And it lifted my spirits up today. I said, yeah, you need some oxygen to that brain. And so we were teasing each other. But that's right there, getting behind that wall also creates depression. And it ultimately sometimes leads to suicide attempts. Suicide, you know?
Yeah. Being isolated like that is not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. Talk about that part about you said you were buried. You had to unearth yourself from that.
Yeah. I think so. For me, the word heal is an action-packed acronym that means hope, evolve, and love. And in the evolution part, evolving, I did a lot of deep discovery work to really dig down inside of me and really learn who I was. When I came back to conscious awareness after the hypnotherapy session, I had an overwhelming sense of having no idea who I was.
Yeah.
And terrified that if I didn't know me, nobody else could possibly
nobody
know
else would. Yeah.
So I went on that, I went on that journey and part of that was the deep self-discovery work where I learned so many things about myself, including giving the respect to what I've actually been through in terms of the trauma and the abuse and calling it what it is and appreciating it, I think is the word that I would use, right? I mean, it's something that happened to me and I need to give it the respect that it deserves for what I've been through. And then understanding my survivorship, which wasn't great. I call it my unhealthy survivorship, and some of the ways in which I was living my life built that wall and contributed to my isolation and just really were not healthy. But I also did a lot of work to find the good things in me. So my gifts and my strengths, because I think that's important when we are survivors. In particular, if you have an inner critic, which I have had a very loud one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know, kind of a push pull when you're trying to
fight. Yes, that inner critic. Oh my gosh.
This wonderful person, right? You know, that's challenging work. And then ultimately I also did a lot of work to discover my true life's purpose, which is to serve as a healing mentor to help other survivors, which ironically for me means that the first 50 years of my life, I had to live them the way they were. So I was, it was the first time when I was five, and then the 45 years of living as a survivor. And
I read the part about you being five. My macro traumas. Yes. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. I like those. Yeah. I never thought about using micro and macro before. I was like, oh, I will like those. But it seems that, you know, we have something in common. My journey of survival started at age five. And so learning how to get out of this, and I think you're proving it as well, is that it takes doing that inner work just that long, because life does get in the way. Then it's compounded fragments, right?
Yeah.
On top of what you're already trying to overcome.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly right. Yeah. So doing the work is really, really very important. So it's interesting for me now, beginning for me when I was five, because I'm sort of on the, you know, I've done a lot of healing work, and I always tell people always be healing, because life happens to us, right? We're always going to be healing from something that may have happened to us. Even if it's one of the, you know, the micro traumas, you have an interaction with someone significant in your life and it didn't go well, right? I mean, that's a micro trauma. If you feel pain from that, any sort of pain, right? It's what I call my micro trauma. So I think we're always healing from that. But the big stuff, I've done most of the healing work from the big stuff. And it's interesting to me because I'm spending a lot of time right now with the youngest. I have three inner children, and I'm spending a lot of time with the youngest right now, who is my five-year-old. Right?
Oh, wow.
So it's like a full circle of trying to finish bringing her fully, fully into this me now.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting journey.
It's different. It's different. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that. I think my youngest is now he's 34. He learned at 23 about meditation, because that's when I was kind of like around that area. He was like, and then he learned about, then my grandkids now know about meditation. They know it about breathing. They know it about, you know, those stretches to open up the hip. They know all of that stuff. So they're so aware of it. Like their mom will be doing something. Oh, mom, this is what you got to do. Tap over here. Where do you get that from? She's like, never mind. You're booba. I know. You know, but you took a mom tap right here, you know. I love all of that. So I know that you break down in your book that losing optimism, and I think we don't talk about that a lot. Could you share about that?
Sure. I am naturally a very hopeful person, so I will describe myself as the glasses three quarters full kind of girl.
Yeah.
And had been through a lot in my life up to the point of the hypnotherapy, obviously, where I had had opportunities to lose hope, but had not. Right? I'd always found my way, even through the difficult things, to still remain hopeful and optimistic. Mm-hmm. But when I came back to the conscious awareness after the hypnotherapy, I had that overwhelming sense of despair and complete hopelessness. Like I really like immediately fell into that place when I woke up, and I'm like, I have no idea
who
I am, how can anyone else? I lost any sense of hope that I had ever had. And really I felt like I have this enormous problem, and I have no idea how I'm going to overcome the problem. And that stayed with me for a couple of weeks. And then I found my way, down a path about reigniting my resolve and getting my hope back. And that took time for me, but it involved me beginning to talk to people, even though I was scared about what I was going through. And the people that I first spoke to, I didn't know how they were going to react to what I was saying them, because they were friends. They were started out as business colleagues and had become friends, but because of my inability to connect deeply, we had never really gone very deep in talking about us individually. And we went super deep the night that I told them what I was experiencing. And so I didn't know, I didn't know how they were going to react. And it was the first time I had really ever talked about it. But they were wonderful. It's also the first time that I ever recognized that I experienced unconditional love in my life was that night.
Wow.
It was really wonderful. And that discussion led me to ultimately to books, because I needed knowledge about what was happening to me.
Right.
Was able to return to me some vocabulary that I have today to describe myself as a survivor that I did not have back then. And with those words, I did some research to try to find resources. And I found my trauma therapist, and I found the books that gave me knowledge about survivors and survivorship. But what I saw in those books was that people were healing. And I was like, wow, if those people can heal, I can do it.
Yeah.
Really, when I got my my resolve back and committed to myself that I was going to do whatever it took to heal myself from what I was experiencing. But it was a period of time to get when I was in that place of not having any hope. And I hope, hope is my H and heal, because I believe that hope is the fuel that sustains us healing journey. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. There are parts of it that are very difficult, and we need that hope to keep us going, that we're doing the right things ultimately to have a better life where we experience love and joy and can thrive in our life, which is where you can get to. And I promise all your listeners that you can, because I've done it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So would you say that you losing optimism was one of the symptoms that you kind of said, I might be a survivor. I might be going through some type of trauma.
I don't want to give away what happened in the hypnotherapy, because it's a great story and it's in the book.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had had fragments of a story in my mind for about 15 years, including in a nightmare that I'd been having, a recurring nightmare that I'd been having for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the fragments of those stories came together in the hypnotherapy session.
Gotcha.
And what I knew when I woke up from the hypnotherapy session is that I had been abused, sexually abused as a child by my grandfather. I knew that without a doubt. And so that was the point where, that's what that was. The realization hit me in that moment when I came back. And that's really the first time that I ever, and I won't say I didn't see myself as a survivor at that point. That was the first time that I ever respected the fact that I'd been abused in my life. First time, and I was 50 when that happened for me. It was the first time. And that, when I realized that, and all sort of the things around my life and about my life began to crumble down, it wasn't really until I had the conversation with those two women. And, one of them said to me, she said, you've been sexually abused, you're traumatized, you're sick, you need help. And some of the things that I was symptoms that I had been having. So I suffer from dissociation. And so I was describing to them that night my loss of memory, which is how I would always talk about it before. Not like I had the memory and I lost it, but just like it's there.
It's not there, right.
I don't recall most of my life. I don't recall the way that people do. And I would always query people in conversations before that, about how your memory works. I'm like, what do you see? And is it a movie? And like, are your five senses working? Where I was very curious about that because I don't have that. And what the word she said to me that night was dissociation. So she began, so the next day I'm looking for trauma and therapy and dissociation. And all this stuff is coming up about being a survivor and survivorship and all these books. So it was sort of a progression there pretty rapidly where I recognized myself as a survivor. And then when I read the first book that I read, if you look at the margins of that book, it's me, mom, dad, my husband. Because we are all survivors,
right.
And I could see every one of us in our behaviors in that book. And that's really when I realized I am a survivor and there is something that I need to heal from. And it turned out to be more than one thing that right. I need to heal from.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
Really, it was really after the hypnotherapy that brought all that together for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that I too suffered from missing pieces of my life so I could piece together life. I was missing a whole bunch, you know, and just now in life, I'm missing this piece here. Where is it? You know, what's missing, you know, and it's scary not to know. And I know that, you know, just, you know, I work on it all the time, trying to remember and what yeah. took place and, you oh, know, geez. And those type of things, but it's a lifespan. Hmm. It's so hard because it's a lifespan, and you and I are proof that it takes a lifetime to kind of mend from these things. Yeah. And just like you said, it's not one thing. It's the many layers of it. So yes. It's the deceit. It's the person. You're not trusting the person anymore. It's the person that's supposed to have loved you and took care of you, made yes. a safe space, and it didn't yes. happen. Yes. And it's all those things. And then it's reoccurring. Now, here I am, and now it's happening again and again and again. How do you start to take off that? And yeah. I remember as a child, when I was being abused, I would disassociate. I would go somewhere else. I would go, I don't know, I would literally go out of where I was, body and everything, and just be gone, you know, and just be gone in my mind. And then once I would open my eyes, then I realized it was over. I'd get up, and it was like I'd start wherever I ended. Like, so whatever I was doing, it was like, okay, go back to that. Like, I didn't miss a beat. And I think that was part of my disassociation. I would take my mind, would go somewhere. And it was a protective, you know, a protective.
Sure. Yeah, know, it is. It is.
It's something yeah. that protects you. So, yeah.
That's interesting. I had no awareness that is what I was doing until I got into trauma therapy recently.
Right. Okay.
And I now know it's my default mechanism, but yeah. I actually think what was happening for me is that I just stopped recording.
Yeah.
So, and I know that that's what I believe now because of more recent experiences that I've had mm-hmm. when I would be like in a, you know, confrontational discussion,
yeah.
you know, argument, call it what yeah. it was with someone. And I realized that I hold in me the feelings from mm-hmm. that encounter, mm-hmm. but I can't recall the details about what, I know there was a fight, but I can't recall mm-hmm. the details and the words right. that were said. He right. said, she said, I can't recall any of right. that. And so that just, I just literally my mind just says, I'm not going to.
It's too, yeah, it's too hard.
I don't feel like I've like gone somewhere else. Yeah. I know I was there and I was participating. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, this isn't, we don't need this.
No, yeah, exactly. And it protects you.
That's what it's doing.
it protects you.
Yeah,
yeah, I know that. That I would be triggered by someone arguing, and it could be, it don't even have to be my house. It could be down the street and it just goes through me. You know, I could hear it and I'm like, you know, like this, you know, worried about it, but it comes from, you know, in my life, I've heard a lot of arguments, fights, blood, you know, and that's how I started remembering things. It's like when something triggered me, I'm like, why come I know that? And my body would completely respond to it completely. It would be like, I would get up and want to go. Cause one of my things I would do when my parents were fighting is I would get all my siblings and put us all in the pantry and just like yeah. wait until it's over. So yeah. even hearing something like that, I would be thinking, I gotta get up, like, and make sure everything's okay, and then come, you know, and yeah. secure the place. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
It, your body remembers that, and yeah. and you know, even though your mind sometimes doesn't, it like when conflict happens, I used to shut down. Like as soon as somebody started screaming and hollering, I just stand there and I'd be gone. Like you're like, oh, no, I'm not gonna deal with this. You know, and then. Yeah. I wouldn't hear nothing they said. I could not hear a thing. They're like, do you hear what I said? No. I would just go away. Just not good. Because it would just brought me up to a place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't want to be in. Yeah.
Didn't want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't want to be in there. So, you know, I don't want to give away all the goodness of the book, but I will tell you guys, it has some stories. I didn't get too far, but I don't want to. I'm going to come back and I'm going to do a review on this. So, guys, you look for me to do the review on this. So, you see where my marker is, right? You see where the marker is right there. So, I am coming back to give a review on becoming an empowered survivor because I heard survivor to thriver, you know, survivor to victory.
That's a good whatever, story.
But I've never heard becoming an empowered survivor, which means so much more. Empowered.
Yes.
So I love that. I love that.
Yes.
Because you said something more important. If other people can heal, so can you. And that's
powerful. And if I can, the others can. It's like we can all do it.
It's a big old circle. Remember that commercial years ago with the shampoo? And it says, I told somebody and so on and so on and so on. And then it has little frames of like millions of little heads. I think it was Sassoon. It was Sassoon shampoo. It was a long time ago, But yeah, it had the little tiny heads and it was a girl with blonde hair. You know, my hair was felt great and I told somebody and so on and
maybe,
so
maybe
on.
I
and
it got bigger.
That's how healing is.
So it was a long time ago. So I grew up out of the US. So, and I like a lot of like pop culture and like rules and movies and all that. So people say what you're saying to me all the time. I'm like, I don't think it's all that.
I should have known that. Cause I did read the first part. You weren't here. You didn't live here. Yeah. I should have known better.
It's okay. I get that a lot. I'm no fun. You're like, you're spoiling my joke. Right.
Yeah. No, sorry about that one. I read that you didn't read here too. That part I read. So is there anything you could tell us about what's on the horizon for you?
What I've been through, the journey I've been through has been about personal transformation, radical transformation of myself, but that has led me to professional transformation.
Okay.
So I wrote the book because I've known for a while that I had a lot of power in my story and that my story needed to be shared to help other people.
Okay.
And so I've been on a path for about 3 years now that has led me to the place where the book is out. And there's a story in the story about how I became a writer and a storyteller, which is also in the book. So I'm not going to spoil it because you'll read about it. It goes back to college. I'll tell you that one of my very good friends back to college is a master storyteller, and she's been helping me down this path for a while now. But with the book coming out, I knew that there was going to be a full shift in what I'm doing. So I no longer do what I used to do in the corporate world as a consultant. I used to do fraud and white collar crime investigations, and I don't do that anymore. And now I am full-time working as the healing mentor. So I work with people one-on-one to help them as they're on their healing pathway if they need my help. But I spend a lot of time doing this, talking to people in a variety of different settings. So on podcast and on YouTube and in rooms and on stages. And that's really what I'm trying to do, is to spread the message very far and very wide. So I do that full time now. I will be launching my own podcast probably in January, if not December. That's coming. I have a website out there. You can go learn a lot more about me. The website is empoweredsurvivors.com. And there's all kinds of information about me and my work out there on the website.
Oh, that's so good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say, this has been really helpful. And I know that my audience has gotten a lot from it, or will get a lot from it.
I hope so.
Or when the replay, they will get it.
I hope so.
But thank you for being here. You and your amazing book.
It's beautiful.
Becoming an Empowered Survivor. And remember, you too can heal from trauma and abuse.
Yeah.
This is Edna White, your host, and my esteemed guest, Beth Jones, saying goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.